afternoon. You are listening to Local Media This Week, the programme on SPCR where we talk about what's on around County Clare and we discuss what's in our local papers, namely the Clare Champion and the Clare Echo. We urge you to subscribe or pay for them both. And this week's episode is sponsored by Ruth Griffin Photography. And I suppose there's a few firsts this week now. This is the first episode in a long time because normally we record on a Thursday night, but we're actually recording daytime. So we're actually here and we have the usual gang minus the boss are here. So we have John S. Kelly. John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Luke.
Pat O'Brien, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Luke.
And David Fleming.
Good afternoon,
here,
so Luke.
And I think we're going to have a great row today because we've sort of a few meaty topics we're going to discuss. But yeah. I just have to ask you before we start. Yeah. Paddy's Day parade last weekend, lads. How did you enjoy your experience, John?
Well, Luke, I'm. How many have I attended now since the beginning? Okay, and none of them compared to this. It was delightful to see so many out. The sun shining, because we were responsible for that. Okay, but we decided. From our radio float, we decided we were going to engage with the onlookers. So we had great crack, Luke, from Tomb Graney right up to the fire station. Everybody in great form. And it emphasised for me the significance of good weather. Mm. You know, so much money involved. Mm. People spend. Yeah. They come out first of all when the sun is shining.
Yeah.
They spend money.
Yeah.
And so there's great fun. And
well, yeah. Pat Short's great line about it would be a great country if we could only put a roof in it. makes a lot of sense. David, what did you think?
Well, I agree entirely with John. It was great. Locals are so supportive by simply their gestures and the acknowledgement that you get. And the waves, and you know, they wouldn't know necessarily me, but they would know John and Jim and Fiona and whoever else was on the float.
Well, they know you now.
I'm acquiring a bit of a reputation, perhaps, whether it's good or bad.
Exactly.
But it was a great day, and it was a big parade in Tomb Graney Scariff. Didn't get a lot of coverage, I don't think, in the papers. I think there is one article.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
So, Pat, did you manage to get to any of the local parades?
I didn't. Look, I was.
Yeah, you're tied up this year. But
I had a ticket coming over to be on the float. But
I know. There was a chair there for you.
There was people calling to see my wife, so I couldn't go in.
That's all right. Now, listen, the big.
Just as an half 40 guests as well, Luke. Just an half 40 guests in the papers this week.
Of course, yeah.
For the people out there. You know, all the various towns around the country are all covered.
Yeah, exactly. Now, we're going to sort of start with the big news of the week. And, you know, earthquakes were described as being happening, but we're going to go to page 4 of the Clare Echo. And the council to prove 100% support by holding a meeting at the Trump Resort. Now, I don't know who I'm going to start this row with. John, have you any thoughts?
I have thoughts because I have a great feeling for the locals in West Clare. They have little enough economically going for them. Isn't that true? Okay.
Yeah, you're right.
And the Trump plans. All you've got to do is see how much money was pumped into the economy of West Clare and Clare in general as a result of Trump deciding to build or to buy the golf course. So the answer to the question, Luke, is I'm fully in support of Trump plans and I'm fully in support of the council's support for Trump plans.
That's a starter. I think I'll move the topic over to the other side of the table. Now, David.
Well, the headline is Council to Prove a council to prove 100% support. I'm surprised they didn't say 110% support by holding meeting at Trump Resort. and they are proposing to have a meeting of Clare County Council, our council, in Doonbeg, in the hotel, probably paying
for the privilege.
It'd be worse now if, of course, they said it was free and Mr. Trump was paying. But anyway, I have never seen such appeasement since the 1930s.
1930s.
Yeah, I have never seen such appeasement of this nature. I couldn't believe it when I read it that the council would move to have a meeting at a resort of a convicted rapist, because he is being convicted of rape and has to pay a lot of money in New York.
But it's the
company.
He's
been convicted of he's not even allowed to do business in New York at the moment, and we're allowing him to do business in Doonbeg. His family. So it is an utter disgrace that
the
council.
I don't agree with that, Luke.
I have thoughts, but I'm going to bring in Pat O'Brien in. No, because Pat, as well as that, on page 4, Gordon Deegan has an article in The Echo where locals urge council to greenlight Trump plans. And there was something here that in the pre-production meeting, it drew a blank with all the ye. I had heard of it, but there's a plans for pickleball courts, right? So now, you sort of might be asking, what the hell is a pickleball court? So I'm going to tell you. I've gone to the great encyclopedia of Wikipedia.
Oh, very good.
I could try to explain it, but this does a better job. It's a racket or paddle sport in which two players, or four, so you can have singles or doubles, hit a perforated hollow plastic ball with paddles over a 34-inch high net until one side is unable to return the ball or commits a rule infraction.
On water?
No, on ground. It can be played indoor or outdoor. It's sort of like a gentler version of tennis, I think, would be the best way to describe it.
And this has obliged the council to go and meet in the... prove 100% support. I mean, it is pure appeasement.
What's wrong with appeasement?
There was a lot wrong in the 1930s.
Well, the plans will say are...
They're just to pray for planning permission.
They're a separate...
Isn't it a conflict of interest if they have just applied for planning permission and the councillors themselves are... Haven't they automatically ruled themselves out by going to the actual resort?
They haven't decided to go.
It says here, following the proposal by Councillor Gabriel Keating, Fine Gael, Trump International Golf Links and Hotel Doonbeg, Ireland, will be the venue for either the April or May meeting of Clare County Council. It's in black and white there, Pat. Now, can I ask you, where else will the council meet? Which other hotelier will the council meet in?
Well, they have met in various different places. They have met over in Craiganowen, and they have met down in Bunratty, various places.
They're not hotels, Pat.
Well, they have met in those places which are holiday resorts.
Why is this hotelier being favoured, I wonder?
Well, I'd say there's 15 million, reported being spent.
Drumoland probably produces far more and employs far more than Mr.
Yeah, Drumoland probably doesn't need the kind of support.
Why not?
Because distance is a factor.
What about the small hotels that might actually need support?
They're full.
Well, they're not full.
They're immigrants.
Well, we'll come around and talk to a little bit of that later on. But John, there's one thing I would just sort of say to you. You say that the West Clare needs this. The county council are the people responsible for sort of trying to develop our county, and we have spent many a time and many an hour debating about, they seem to be infatuated with sort of digging up the streets of Ennis and doing developments around Ennis. And as a county town, I can understand that. But I would say, are the council not at fault for not developing, we'll say, West Clare enough? Now, it's on the Wild Atlantic Way. And you could argue that I think that they sort of half forget that we were out here a lot of the time as well.
And I don't disagree with you on that, Luke.
I think this is preferential favouritism. It's
appeasement. Preferential, but whether it's favouritism is another thing.
Well, any of the councillors that will be attending that meeting won't be having planners, so it's up to the planners. in the council to decide on whether they're going to give planning permission or not.
I suppose the optics of it, in a way, perhaps aren't great. If there was no planning application in, one might still debate the merits of it, but we say when there is a current planning application live, it could be interpreted a number of ways.
Even though the councillors don't make the decision, the planners do, and the chief executive have to attend the meeting, so they'll actually be in the hotel.
Yeah.
And what sort of perks will they receive?
It's not
free tea and coffee.
It's not. Wait a minute. No,
maybe a nice red MAGA hat. Will all the councillors be wearing "Make America Great Again"?
No, imagine, David. I'd imagine they'd all be paying for the privilege if they were.
Luke, I'm putting it to our friend at the end of the table there. If he happened to be a board member of this company called Trump Golf or whatever it is, okay, and you want to spend, you know, another 10 or 15 million on much valued facility.
Yeah.
Okay. Luke indicated there earlier one of the issues. What do you call the
pickleball?
Pickleball, that's very important. If it means millions into the economy, I'll support millions going into the Doonbeg economy.
Are you saying pickleball? I mean, this will be the headline of the front page of the Clare Echo next week. John Kelly imagines pickleball will bring millions to the west of the county. Well,
he might go up and have a few games himself.
the facts about it is there was an application which was passed on two occasions by Clare County Council that 38,000 tons of rock armour will be placed along Dunmore Beach.
What was the purpose of that?
To protect the land, to protect the
and is that a worthwhile objective?
And the farmers.
Well, can we put that to our friend at the end of the table there? I mean, if he's, you know, he has no thought in what he said. No thought whatsoever. No. Wait a minute, Pat, now you're in agreement with
me. I am in agreement, yes.
Are you in favour of the farmer?
I am, yeah.
You are. Are you in favour of protecting the dunes?
I am.
What's he in favour of at the end of the table?
This decision, this is a bit of a red herring, which John has described. My right honourable friend has thrown into the debate. The rock armour situation has been decided. I don't know actually why Pádraig, if he wrote this piece, has dug up this piece of the past, because that's actually not on the agenda at all. The council has given support for it. In the past, it was in 2017, we're talking a long time ago, and it was on board Pinala, who on various grounds, and that's their job, because maybe Pat is thinking only purely about the farmer and predominantly Mr. Trump, as you are, John. But on board Pinala has to think of all the other things, including biodiversity, the fish, the erosion. If you put rock armour there, it will erode another part of the coastline somewhere else. That's the reality of it. Other farmers would be affected.
Just finish off. Trump International, when they proposed this rock armour, they were going to build a big conference centre, plus a wedding venue, which they don't have. If this was passed. Now, that's probably gone by the way, which there might be another 100 jobs in that situation.
Exactly.
It's not purely, gentlemen, it seems that the euro sign seems to dominate your thinking. It's not all about jobs, and it's not all about money.
Well, if you're taking
the boat...
There
are lots of other different things. There's nobody taking the boat anymore. People are actually coming into the country.
They're taking the plane, David. From Shannon, hopefully. But unfortunately, some will have to go to Dublin. Listen, there was some other political event that happened during the week that we might talk about, a little bit less significant. It's on page one of the Champion, a decision 6 months overdue. And then that's by Sharon Dolan Darcy and Owen Ryan have it on the front page of Clare Champion. Pádraig McMahon has it on page six of the Echo. And I do like the heading, Leo Varadkar's resignation won't lead to an earlier general election, but I note down in the bottom corner of page six of the Echo that there is a European election ad for Cynthia Nivoracu for Fianna Fáil. So I do quite like it. Now,
it's civil war politics playing out
exactly.
In the print.
Now, Pat, I'll ask you. You need a bit of airtime now. Give us your thoughts.
Well, I thought it was a surprise for everybody that Leo stepped away. I thought he'd see out the year and that maybe we'd go on until this time next year. But that's the way it is, and he has decided to step away, and we're going to have a new leader, and it looks like it's going to be Mr. Harris, who was the higher education minister.
A man that was recently in East Clare.
So,
if I
were... I don't know really whether we'll win next month. Maybe you might have won after the budget. The budget is in October, yeah. Possibly after the budget.
Pat, can I ask you, because Deputy Crow on page 6 has said he doesn't think the public desire a general election. Do you want, would you want to see a general election?
No, I think any government should go out in that time, 5 years. If you're elected for 5 years, you should put up in the 5 years. This whole thing of going, press people love all this kind of nonsense, you know. Of heaven, you know, they have loads and loads of stuff to debate and get all these people in, and they've no problem.
Don't we like it ourselves?
John, would you want a general election now?
I think for stability of the country, we shouldn't have an election.
I think it would be very ill advised. Because
now that's
the context.
But would you want an opportunity at this point to vote in a general election?
No, I don't feel an overwhelming urge to say no again.
Yeah. So Deputy Crow is in touch with the public if he says that the public. Luke, what is your
view? Now, if I was a cynic, I would think that there could be a little bit of groundwork being laid here. Now, in relation to Leo Varadkar, the contributions in the Dáil, I thought, were a bit unsightly, where there was a lot of personal attacks on him, which I didn't think were 100% warranted.
Over the years?
No, we'd say in recently. In the days. However, so close to the trip to the States, which is the annual big junket for our, you know, elected leaders, I think there's a bit of it where this is probably a decision. He didn't wake up during the week and decide this to go on through. Now, the fact that he managed to keep it secret until a quarter to 12, having announced it in...
When do you think he might have decided it? Like, did the referendum result have any part to play?
No, I don't think so. If I was given my cynical hat now, I would say to you that... We have the local elections in June, and the latest that a general election can take place is next February. Okay? And
from That's the latest.
From what I have heard from some of the people that are way better connected and in the political circles, one of the things that they do not want is a winter canvas like 2020.
Understandable.
Dark evenings. Everything like that. So, the cynic in me would sort of think Fine Gael are not in a good place politically, party-wise. I think they've in around 35 sitting TDs at the minute, 11 of whom have already announced they're not standing at the next election. I think they're turning into the Tory party, actually, because they had a number of newer, younger people that sort of, you know, emerged under Leo. You had, you know, the Gang of Five, the football players, you know, all that. And some of them, I think, they've had enough. Mm. They're getting out. But I think that if the locals are not always a bellwether for a general. However, if you sort of look at the tea leaves, the one party that potentially stands to gain the most from the local elections will be Sinn Féin. Mm. So... if you are, we'll say, the parties in power, and what do the parties in power want to do? They want to hang on to power by whatever means possible. I think you're looking at an option where whatever the results are at the locals, they will go to the budget. We'll have a giveaway budget, and then they'll decide, well, look, this is our record over the last few years, and we're giving the pensioners a few more bob in this. That all the rest of it, and they'll go.
So you're looking at a November election?
I would think you could be potentially talking a late October, early November election.
Yeah. Maybe, but isn't that still winter months?
Yeah, but it's not. It's getting close to it. Yeah. It is getting close to it. But
November
I wouldn't.
Could be pretty miserable.
Yeah. Well, look, the weather can be pretty miserable in the middle of summer, David.
Yeah,
but
true.
But I think it's timing, because if you have the locals in June, right? You're not giving those people a huge opportunity to develop. So this, if you go to raw political side of things, if you had a councillor that's elected, we'll say, you know, maybe Social Democrats might make big gains as well. You know, if you look at, we'll say, from the existing parties, and say that they could have a councillor elected that maybe gets 2,000 votes in a local election. They've ahead of momentum, then they're going to get nominated for the party. If you have the election sort of sooner, you reduce their chances of maybe, you know, making an impact. But one man that has made an impact, and we'll say features in the paper as well, is Michael McNamara, our local TD here.
Yeah.
And he has a very good point that he makes on page one, or that's on page one. Dan Danner has the article there on The Champion. The government has been accused of not progressing the huge potential of wind energy off the west coast of Clare.
Yeah.
And Deputy McNamara highlighted the remarkable advances in infrastructure down in the Republic.
The real Republic.
And strangely enough, David, you know, Simon Coveney being the minister down there. And he makes a political point. He claimed that if a county has no cabinet minister, no significant advances are made. Now, John. What are your thoughts on that?
Your analysis is good. I mean, there's no doubt at all about that. I just want to go back to the early part of your analysis and ask you a question about the context of the junket. The word junket has a negative undertone. You know, I, from now working with you lads,
you've become very sensitive.
I become alert to all the work which local politicians and national politicians actually engage. So I liked your analysis. I want to ask you first of all, however, had you something in mind when you said junket?
I think it may be a colloquialism that maybe is used a little bit too much. So if any politician is offended, John, I will apologise. But there are a large number of trips that that are organised, we'll say, and, you know, we'll say for the government ministers, you know, they literally all bail out of the country for Paddy's Day. Is there benefits to be gained from it? Maybe there are, maybe there are. The big one is the Taoiseach goes to Washington to meet the president.
Roderick O'Gorman was over in Japan or somewhere, and they were moving all those misfortunes above in tents above around Mount Street up to the Dublin Mountains and giving them tents to stay up there. And they were being fired, people firing rocks at them and tormenting them up there, and some of them had to move back into Dublin.
The cynic in me would think that perhaps that tented city was being moved for so that the tourists didn't see it.
But every country sends business delegations, political, educational. I met a colleague on the corridor of the university the other day, and she had been over to Brazil with Minister Ryan, in fact, on an educational sort of thing.
Flying
the flag. Now, every country does it. Now, our great advantage is, I know we're going a bit off topic, our great advantage is we have everybody, a lot of people recognise St. Patrick's Day internationally.
Mm.
Of all of the saints in the Christian churches, St. Patrick is very much recognised.
Yeah.
And so I think we focus all of our attention on those moments. Now, to come back to whether a minister is important in a constituency or not, I think a minister probably is important, especially if they're a senior minister and they can swing a few things.
If you look at here, there's been... Michael Mackey said here, the Minister of Deputy Eamon Ryan was there. It says here about essentially there are three key demands from the Shannon Estuary Task Force, one of which is around establishing designated maritime area plan, DMRP, on the west coast. Surprise, surprise, the south coast is progressing in this regard.
Yeah, well, I suppose some place does have to forget. I actually don't mind where on the coastline. I'm not so parochial as to hope that our section of the Atlantic is going to progress first. As long as it's progressing somewhere in our territorial waters.
Well, David, in fairness, I would agree with you to a certain extent. However, the fact that Money Point exists and the infrastructure is there and the conditions off the coast of Clare are conducive. Yeah. Not just Clare.
What I would say, though, is that Cork probably have the harbour and the deep harbour facilities but we probably don't have.
At the end of this article that is on page 2, Minister Coveney assured the Clare deputy, which is Mr. McNamara, there is no lack of ambition in his department or that of Minister Ryan, who has done an, quote, extraordinary piece of work over the last number of years to make this prospect a reality. We cannot deliver a plan that aims to deliver 37 gigawatts of offshore wind power generation in 25 years overnight. We need to change the planning permitting systems and we need to have a marine plan. All of this is happening and is led by the state. I take grave exception to that.
Yeah.
Because they have done very little over the last 4 years to try and progress any of this.
Mm. Right? Well, I think it is very slow progress, and
but they are the people in charge.
I agree with you, and I suspect there are some blockages. It's probably not from the politicians; it's probably from certain civil servants, certain departments, who are reluctant. We've heard this
David,
before.
Look, before we moved away, we moved very quickly away from the Leo Varadkar story. I have a question for my three colleagues here. Has the departure of Leo raised any question in your own mind that there's something to be revealed?
I don't think so. You're talking about a bit
that there's some dirt,
political scandal.
Something, either positive or negative.
Yeah.
I mean, there could be. He was very successful in New York, in the States.
In Washington recently. Yeah. He made some good speeches. He all wanted him and other councillors wanted him to make.
The World Bank head position is.
Oh, you think that he might have been offered?
Of course, Mary Robinson resigned the presidency on the basis of an offer to become UN High Commissioner.
Indeed. Asking the question. There's something.
You never know, John, and it could be a little bit like what Luke is saying about the Tory party. People are young individuals. Osborne was poached at an early stage, and the Liberal Democrat leader, whose name I can't remember, he got out pretty quickly as well. So you never know.
Yeah.
But
I thought I was the only political skeptic here, John. I'm disappointed.
Listen, influence you're having on my
Listen, I'm just going to move on a little bit because we're nearly end of part one. On page 8 of the Echo, Councillor McNamara also has. A topic that sort of can provide, I suppose, it has its issues, we'll say, and it's probably creating more issues, and it's in relation to, the title is Hotel Operators Made Millions, but this is in relation to, you know, the amount of bed space, and we go on about tourism here in the county, and, you know, there have been articles said that a third of all hotel accommodation in Clare is taken up. We'll say housing, mainly Ukrainians. And at the bottom of the article there, figures released last year, the Clare Hotel operator shared 21.27 million from accommodating Ukrainians. You know?
See, Michael Neck was on Virgin Media, and I think Parik has referred to it here. He's taken it from what happened in Virgin Media. He's speaking on Virgin Media television tonight show, and I was actually watching it. Deputy McNamara said there were more and more people coming to Ireland claiming asylum. There aren't people coming out of the system. There are people coming in. There's a huge backlog. The Minister for Justice is responsible for a huge backlog in remaining to leave applications. The first stage is an application to the IPO. There is a right of appeal and the right of appeal for humanitarian leave to remain. Michael McNamara was making his point that a lot of the hotels where you have people from the Ukraine staying, and some of them mightn't have moved out, other mightn't have been filled up, but that the hotels are being paid for empty rooms and they have no inspection.
My understanding, Pat, is that we'll say if a hotelier or a company that sort of has maybe bought an old hotel or stuff like that or an old premises, that they are being paid we'll say, to provide a service to asylum seekers or Ukrainian, say for argument's sake, they have a premises that holds 50 people. That they, the contract, they're being paid to hold 50 people, but there may not be 50 people in the premises. Which sort of is a little bit strange when you look at the, say that there's people in tents outside the offices up in Dublin, and said, why aren't they moving those around? And that's the point that's been made here, that there's no checks or balances in relation to that.
It's a serious problem. Deputy McNamara raises a very serious point. It again suggests that, unfortunately, the Department of Integration has no clue how to do this properly and has probably... You know, it's one of the smallest departments. It has a first-time minister who probably doesn't... he's had to learn on the job, Roderick O'Gorman, but you need an experienced minister in this department. This is, could be one for, presumably, Taoiseach Harris. It's very even hard to pronounce that, Taoiseach Harris, or get used to. But I think he should shuffle the ministries in the remaining few months. But can I ask, though, if you get a contract for 50 places... Must you honour that contract, or is there a provision in the contract which says if the number goes up and down, we'll only pay you for the number?
They don't know whether the number is going up and down because they're not checking.
Yeah.
My understanding is that the contract is the contract, and say if it's for 50 people,
there could be five people
in it, or there could be sort of, you know, 50 people in.
But you can imagine the department would appoint maybe an inspector for care, and maybe an inspector for them. The contract isn't that big, like that you could have somebody in care to check out.
But if Luke is right, then it doesn't matter if there's only five in the hotel. Now, it does matter in terms of usage, and they could be informing the Mount Street. Where is that? The IPO place?
Yeah, it is Dublin.
Dublin.
But like, sure.
We can now send 20 people to...
It matters in the sense that you're paying taxpayers' money to hoteliers, and there's not one in the Midlands.
But isn't the problem actually with the contract?
David, there's a bit of it saying the people, you know, I forget the exact name, it's the department. Yeah, the department is the issue, because if the department have the figures for these people coming in, and just say for argument's sake, this week the department have 2,000 people, right? And they say, right, the department should be sort of linked in, because it's the same department has signed the contracts with these hoteliers, and I'm not referring to hoteliers, you know, or groups that are associated with housing people. That's it, right? Just say, for argument's sake, there's a capacity for, we'll say, 634 people in Clare. Mm. Currently, how many have we in there?
Yeah.
And it's like, they don't seem to know. But I think that whole side of things, it could be an election debate for down the line. But Pat...
Well, I think Michael Mack was trying to highlight that the other night and there on the paper as well. So.
Yeah.
Before we finish part one, we leave on a sort of half local debate. Page 3 in The Champion. And it's a topic close to your heart.
Oh, yes.
Commuters left stranded as club pulled on railway. And no sooner than darkness follows, day, every year the track between Ennis and Limerick at Ballycar, and there's a picture there from 2008 with a man sort of...
With a measuring tape. It's surrounded by water.
Parik is a full page, and of course it's in his own parish over in the market. Page 10 of the Echo as well loop. Yeah. Flooding likely to keep in his Limerick rail line closed for weeks. And Ballycar let down to Rural Ireland is from the Kildare Municipal District meeting. It is awful because John, you were travelling that line 70 years ago.
I was indeed,
and it was flooded.
In fact, it was more than 70 years ago.
Yeah.
And I recall I was making my way from Limerick to Galway, Sligo, back to school, and the line was closed, so I couldn't use the train.
So it's been a problem since day one, I suspect. Since John's time, according to the papers, they raised it 60 centimetres.
They raised it, yeah.
Which, in 2003, but that hasn't helped. Of course, it hasn't helped because, unfortunately, we're getting a lot more rain.
in the last few years or decades, and so those remedial steps don't work. Like, is there any solution? They have identified a solution, Pat.
They have, but it's going to cost £16.7 million.
And the solution actually isn't an Éireann Road Éireann solution because it's not on their property.
Yeah, it's the OPW will probably have to do the work.
Is there a question of the geology?
Well, there is.
That is the problem, isn't it?
There is, yeah.
And it's a little bit like, I know Councillor Hayes has often referred to, you know, the wetlands up around Loch Rainy as well. And the problem is that you've so many agencies involved and none of them will do it. But I just see, speaking to their champion, Councillor Alan O'Callaghan, Fianna Fáil, called on Transport Minister Eamon Ryan, Green Party, a firm advocate for public transport to do what is required. Quote, the minister needs to step up here and write a cheque for it.
You see, but this is the problem. It's not his department. The OPW is a separate department.
Yeah.
It falls under the Department of Finance.
Yeah.
So a bit like we had this controversy about Bunratty. Do you remember this a few months ago? Who is going to pay for the roof in Bunratty so that the council can take it on?
Yeah.
There were about four different departments involved. This is exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
They're all going to pass the buck on this, and it's going to be another 10 years, I'd say, before this.
Well, they have been passing the book for the last
70 years.
St. John's having the Lion's
House,
I think.
Anyway. If you were a native or living in Ireland, trying to make a living in South Roscommon, around Loch Ree, okay, you'd have been used to half your farm
being flooded.
And that goes back to the 19th century.
Yes, with the drainage of the bogs and so on.
Goes back to the British or the...
Yeah.
So, and it's a nice example, if I may say, of how human interference in ecology, such as putting 38,000 tons of stone, can have an impact somewhere else.
Yeah.
Sorry to braise that now again.
Right. Listen, that's enough for part one. But unfortunately, if you need to get from either Limerick Tennis or vice versa, and you're using public transport, you're going to have to use the bus rather
than the bus,
train for the future. We'll be back for part two shortly. Pat, what are we going to have? Whose anniversary? Who's dead or alive? Or what are we talking about this week?
We have Burt Bacharach with Do You Know the Way to San Jose from Dionne Warwick.
Don't go via Ballycar anyway.
Find in San Jose. LA is a great big freeway. Put $100 down and buy a car. In a week, maybe two, they'll make you a star. Weeks turn into years. How quick they pass.
No, we might know the way to Ballycar, but we might have found it to San Jose. Now, listen, start part two. We're just going to reference back to photographs that are in the papers for the parades, and not a huge amount of some of the parades, John, over our neck of the woods. I don't see a picture of yourself there now, you know, but page...
My modesty comes into
17 of the Echo, and David, you'll be looking at page 10 and 11. Pat and John, give us your thoughts on the pictures in the...
I am terribly disappointed with the absence of our part of East Clare.
Mm.
I mean, there was a huge public support for the parade,
yeah.
And I expected that there would be something reflected on the photograph. In actual fact, I'd go so far as to say that from a photography point of view, we're being very badly treated in the media.
Well, could I come in there with a few statistics, John?
Yeah.
The Clare Champion have the very middle pages, page 10 and 11, St. Yeah. Patrick's Day 2024, around the county. They have 17 pictures. Only three are from East Clare. And of those three, all are Tulla. So I'd agree with you. There is something going on with the newspapers. Now, Pat will give us a roundup of the Clare Echo, which might have a little bit of better coverage of East Clare. But just to highlight the three images, they're Tullagh clubs. The Tullagh Drama Group are there, members of the Tullagh Drama Group, who are very nicely dressed up, it has to be said, and promoting Tullagh Drama. And then the Barbie Group, that very popular film of the year, Barbie, and that inspired a number of all girls to dress up in pink with lots of balloons. And then the only other one, Alva and Kiva O'Loughlin, Hannah Donnellan, Meadow Slattery and Katie Hayes. They look as if they were observers at the parade. But Pat, I think, has a few more.
Yeah, I suppose page 17, Luke, you have the Shannon one, and it's sponsored by Tony Mulcahy. And you have all the people, various people. I think Dave Junior Cup is there with a couple of young fellas from Newmarket, and Newmarket Celtic. And then you go on to Innes, it's sponsored by Johnny Flynn, and you've. And by the way, all what's going on is on in the Abbey Street car park. So we're just wondering when
we haven't timed, Jesus, Pat, we haven't timed this week.
When the Abbey Street car park is done away with, where will the St. Patrick's Day parade, where will they congregate? And it was laid out by, the Grand Marshal was Maura O'Connell, which is a well-known Clare singer.
Yep.
The Tullagh one then, you have the Tullagh one here, is sponsored by Joe Cooney, the Mayor of Clare, that page. So I have various Tullagh, I think that must be a Tullagh under 15 team to win a county championship, and you have various ones.
A young Batman there as well, I see a photograph here.
And then we'll move on to Kilrush. We have Kilrush, it's another Joe Whelan Tractors are sponsoring Kilrush, and you have St. Patrick there out in style, and a Penny Farthing bike, and a lovely David Brown tractor. So Kilrush are out in force there. Joel Gallagher is sponsoring the one up in Liston Verna. So you have the Pipe Bend out in Liston, and a big load of tractors there outside the Rathbone Hotel, which we know fairly well.
Oh, yes.
You have Dundeg as well. Dundeg looks well here as well, sponsored by Gabriel Keaton. And they're out in style there in green. Then you have 6 Mile Bridge.
You mean in the Dundeg, there wasn't any reference to
Mr. Trump?
No.
He didn't make an appearance.
Oh, right, okay.
The councillor willing to go to him, but he's not willing to take part in the parade.
Is that it, Pat?
I think Peter Irvine is there. Is that De Valera's Dodge Care?
Oh, yeah. Which? Possibly could be, yeah. That's page 25 in the Echo.
Councillor Irvine is there anyway, with the Care. And there's some ladies cooking up here at the top. There's a couple of lambs.
Is there any more politically sponsored?
I'd only mention just there is a tiny, there is a, on the East Clare page, Dan Danaher presumably has a small little piece about the Scariff Tomb Grady Parade. It says, presidential approval for lively parades in Scariff and Tomb Grady, and seemingly two people dressed up as Sabina and Michael D. Higgins for the occasion. I didn't see them myself. But there's no picture.
Yeah, well, no, I suppose
the one on the front there, Luke, two lads from the bog, which is going to be a very controversial thing as well. I think the bogs are going to be outdated as well, like everything else.
Well, I suppose only one thing we'll say is that perhaps there were limited photographers available on the day, and with the large number of parades taking place, they can't all be in the one place at
one
time.
Well, I wondered about that, whether people submit with photographs or their actual commissions.
It might be something
that we could have fairly prominent East Clare photographers.
Well, we can say we're disappointed, but we won't criticise too much. We'll be going back to criticising now in a few minutes. But just, Pat, as you mentioned, photographs. There was a concert took place in Tullagh last weekend, which actually the radio has recorded and will be broadcasting some of in the future. Basically, the RNLI, it was a fundraiser for the RNLI, and there's a picture of, we'd say, Joe Gary there, Eamon Donegan, Kevin O'Mara from Bunratty Search and Rescue, a cheque for €3,000 being handed over there, which was proceeds of fundraisers, and Joe and the McMahon family wanted to share the proceeds to help the rescue services in the county. So that was a night that was put together by Breda McNamara and Vincent Healy, who put in a tremendous effort. So
and Joe, Steve Finch, really.
Exactly, yeah. You know, so and you had two highlights, Mary Kerr, all of 99 years of age, and more from Kitty Layden from Tulla, who was the young age of 88 years of age. You know, so some lovely
photographs. I was at the concert, and it was very good. I was most of it, and it was a very good concert.
Yeah.
And Luke, a huge crowd.
Luke, could I draw your attention? Not necessary for us to spend too much time on it, but the article on page 31, how AI, artificial intelligence, is transforming video surveillance. Now, I know this is an area of expertise which you have.
I wouldn't go that far, chance.
And I'd alert people to read the actual article on page 31 of the Echo.
Yeah, now, John, the only thing I will say in relation to it, I would say that seems to be, I'd say, a paid ad in relation to it. But you do raise points, and I'll just say that in relation to AI and artificial intelligence, all the rest of it, if you are on social media, you will come across videos, we'll say, that purport to be from, we'll say, Donald Trump or Joe Biden, and they're being voiced over with sort of, you know, they could be talking about the bog down in sort of, in Doonbeg, and not being very kind towards it. But some people that mightn't realise that it's not actually the person that is, you know, that it's fake.
It's artificially generated.
Yeah, you know.
Have to be very careful. Now, the only thing I would say about this, John, is just in recent weeks, the EU Parliament has passed laws which prevent this sort of thing, facial recognition using AI. So that's coming. It hasn't come into effect yet, but it's coming in the next couple of years. So this sort of thing, what this company is talking about, will probably be illegal.
Yeah, but
legal or
illegal. Yeah.
Only under certain circumstances where the authorities can get involved.
But now, listen, we have to move on.
The stage is set for the 75th Clare Drama Festival. I know we're going out on Sunday.
Go on, Pat. Yep.
We're going out on Sunday, but the 75th Clare Drama Festival is on this week. Started on last Friday night, and Dan Danner has a big article there on the paper, and people can read it, and I mean, they want people to attend.
Our local Sleeve Octi team, I think, are out. Is it Tuesday next week, Pat? I think
they're out. They're on
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
You know, hopefully a great night.
Yeah, and Tom Handley is closely our colleague here on the radio. Thomas DiPiero, and he has a great article there with Dan Danner on page 8 of the third chapter.
Okay, we'll encourage you to read that. Just listen, we're really caught for time here, so we're going to have to skip through a little bit of this. But you wanted to bring up this is a very political episode this week. Page 14 and 15 in the Clare Echo. Surplus solves debate over Councillor Flynn's GMA contributions, and it is buying votes, new departure for GMA in NSMD criticised.
But I read both of those articles, and I find it very hard to understand
what's being said.
What's going on?
Well, at a basic level, we should just say what GMA is. The GMA is the General Municipal Allocation. It is the amount of money that the executive arm of the council give to the councillors in the municipal districts to divvy out according to what they think, where they think money should be. And in the interests of transparency, this radio station gets money from the municipal district, from the councillors.
No, but you apply for the money. Last year, I remember Alan O'Callaghan gave me a form to pass on to Jim to fill out, and and that was passed back to him, and then
Important form, Pat.
They allocated the money, like the money hadn't been given out, like just given out without
willy nilly,
without a proper.
There is a form, but let's say there are more applications than money available. How do they decide who gets what? Like, is there a set of criteria? Because you can see how Councillor Flynn. You could see how this. I don't know. Of course, this is just an allegation on Councillor Flynn's part. But obviously, I think in the Killaloe Municipal District, they all agree. All the councillors agree together. Mm-hmm. In other areas,
because we saw Councillor O'Callaghan a few months complaining about this as well, that there, his group's allocation wasn't going to where. So, but could you see maybe the point of it though? Well, we don't know if it's happening.
David, you're in the middle of that article. There's a paragraph. The intention was for elected representatives to have autonomy for their spend, and that has been taken away. That's the kernel of the article in a way, when you think about
it. And you know, there are arguments, John, to say that's a little bit disappointing, because you said we the people elect these people, and but if we have given them, you know, our scratch, our vote to do it, should they not, you know, in as a democratic state, have the authority to give it out in a manner that they see fit? No, there are certain criteria for it. So it's not as if somebody has a pet project and they decide, I'm going to give X amount to it. It doesn't work like that. You know, there's a
How does it work, Luke? Well, apart from the form that Pat has mentioned, when you get 10 applications in for, let's say, 500,000, and they actually only have 250,000 to give away.
David, it's local groups.
Yeah,
you're not going to have a group applying for sort of 20,000.
No, it's a couple of thousand. But if there isn't enough money for everybody, how do they decide?
I just know from previous experience that if they don't have enough money this year, they said, look, we can't give it to you this year, but we'll look at you next year. Yeah. That's fair enough, yeah. You know, because if you think about it, 20 people could already have applied, or 20 groups could already have applied, David, before your group puts in the application.
But I have seen money coming from that fund, and it was put to very beneficial use around the Killaloe area, you know.
Yeah, but I know the article is sort of referring to, you know, to Shannon.
Well, that's excuse me, Shannon, and you have another argument in us.
Yeah, do local organisations, I think the sports clubs seem to get a lot of money out of this. Do all local organisations, are they actually aware that the councillors do give out this money?
I don't think there's any doubt that any group in Clare, East Clare, the Killaloe MD, that they're not aware that
they're not aware.
I don't think.
They all are aware. I noticed the ones being mentioned here predominantly are sports clubs.
Like,
do we see the Scouts and the Girl Guides and all those, the Tarts Club? Does the drama get anything out of it?
I don't know the exact allocation.
It's a question we have to.
What I would say is, okay, maybe the sports clubs are getting money, but I think the sports clubs would need to be doing some development in their grounds. They just don't get the money and spend it and going off to an Edgebeck and Kilkee or somewhere like that, or Kilrush. I think that if Scarif are developing their grounds here and they make an application for something lying to their.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Pat, I don't think the councillors set any conditions, because the money that this radio station receives, we're not.
Well, this will be for equipment and stuff like that.
Yeah, but we put in for that, but they don't put down conditions, do they, ultimately?
They don't, but you have to. There's still conditions and where the money goes. You just can't give it to some sports if they don't have some kind of.
Just to give you an idea, we'll say the article that Pádraig has, you know, it says Councillor O'Callaghan, there's criticism, would say, this is in relation to Ennis, and it says, he listed off Slánchan, Clare, Clare Castle GAA, and the Michael Cusick Centre are some of the areas which would benefit from his GMA. Now, you know, they're big enough organisations, but, funding is always going to be an issue for groups and organisations. And if the councillors, this is a national system, it's not unique to the Killaloe MD or to Clare. It's a system that is there. And no more than, the party pump politics that come around the place, we've a minister for X and he's giving out X amount of money and half of it goes to his own constituency. I don't have a huge problem with this, as long as it's transparent.
But I suppose it's councillor, I would entirely agree with you, as long as it's transparent completely. Councillor Flynn, though, seems to have a problem, and it may be just around perception that it is buying votes. That's the question mark.
I'll tell you what's being raised now suggests this is a topic to be revisited when we're armed with
More information.
Information, yeah. Would you agree?
Yeah. I think the council, and maybe they do this actually, maybe it is published on the website where each all the money is spent.
Yeah.
That would be transparent. And how much was applied for?
Yeah.
And who applied for it? How was it given out? Was there a criteria? Do the councillors have a criteria?
I will continue the political debate and turn you to page 4 of the Champion and say that Moroni leaves Fianna Fáil to stand for independent Ireland. Dan Danner has the article there, Pat, page 4. Your thoughts?
Yeah, with common sense approach, they offered the support, strength and structure of the party without the constraints of a whip. I suppose Barford Sutcliffe Farmer has tendered his resignation from Fianna Fáil in order to contest the local elections in independent Ireland candidate at the Killaloe Municipal District. Matthew Moroni, 41, has written to Fianna Fáil confirming his intention to leave the party, bringing to an end his involvement over the last decade. He lost out narrowly in the convention last June, and I suppose he's going out with the National Farmers, is it, party, and
Independent Ireland. I can't recall having heard of them, but
they are a small group of TDs led by Michael Collins from Cork and other places. Have established
a good Cork man, of course.
Have established this new party called Independent Ireland. It's a bit like Shane Ross's attempt to establish an independent party as well.
Is this
a bit of sour grapes on his part that? And of course, politicians do this all the time, don't they? Where if they don't get nominated, they go independent.
He's perfectly entitled to do it. We'll wish him, like all the other candidates,
we
will wish him the very best of luck.
Speaking of which, Luke, we're still counting down the time to the close of nominations for the local elections.
Matthew brings the number of candidates, David, to 7.
Seven.
For 5 seats.
For 5 seats. All 5 incumbents are standing.
Yeah, and Fiona Levy for the Social Democrats.
Is there anybody left? Any group left out? We know of.
Well, the main one, I think.
The Green Party hasn't nominated a candidate, and I think Sinn Féin haven't nominated a candidate.
No, and I don't know if the Greens have a candidate that they will be putting forward this year, but you would think. Yeah. Given the national situation that probably Sinn Féin would be a party that would be looking
Chance of getting any sizable majority in the next Dáil elections, they need to be running candidates at every level in order to get the best people to stand ultimately in a general election. And that goes for all parties.
Yeah. There have been, you know, the question has been asked, and I know Pat would say the lads were down in Shannon recently for a programme that spoke to Councillor Donna McGettigan. And I think they are hoping that they will have somebody. But, you know, time is probably running out for it to get announced. You know, we'll say June 7th is fast approaching. So we'll see how...
Luke, could I... Because I know we're running close on time, but there's a very serious article on The Champion on page 4 dealing with the Mexican beetle and the whole area of biosecurity. Now, that's a jawful biosecurity, but essentially we're talking about the security of plant as well as, I suppose, animal and what have you. But the beetle has landed in Clare, the Mexican beetle. Now, somewhere people are smiling at that. I'd say they were smiling at the ash too when it first manifested itself.
Yeah.
So we're looking at a beetle that has come into the county and is attacking certain pine.
Yeah, and of course a lot of our forestry is pine based. Yeah. I don't know if it's spruce, but
the accusation there is not the Dan Danner is not an accusation. But he's raised a very, very...
Well, it's very serious.
Very serious.
The beetle, which is a Monterey pine engraver, actually came in from Scotland on yeah. imported timber.
Yes.
And the IFA forestry chairperson for Clare, whose name is John Fitzgerald, has highlighted this, that actually why should we be, his claim is that we shouldn't be importing any Scottish timber at all because there's enough in Ireland. Now that's probably debatable, but and his point is our biosecurity for these sorts of things, and we, you mentioned ash dieback, which also came in commercial saplings.
Yeah.
We're not very good at it.
We're awful. I mean, it's David, it's awful.
Are we going to have to build a wall?
But going back to the
going back to the
trees. I always count to an end involved every day of the week for this. For the last 40 years or 50 years in forestry. And he says that there's loads of timber in Ireland, but there's a big backlog all the time in the felling licenses.
Yeah.
Yes.
They can't get the felling licenses to take them out.
Mm. Someone must take up this biosecurity question.
Well, I suppose no more than we say, you know, the pandemic started in China, John. Yeah. You know, if you think so about the effect that had. Allegedly, I should maybe put in, you know.
Yeah. Last Saturday, we had Councillor Pat Bourke in on the ash dieback. And he says for the last 4 years, and they're still waiting for, they haven't been decision made. And it's gone on for 4 or 5 years trying to get the thing sorted out. And the ash dieback, all the forests are all dying away.
And we could talk about a political item there, and you could say, well, it's Pat's party are one that are currently in power. So, you know, they should be perhaps doing more about it. Listen, we're really out of time, and probably some of this is going to go into an extended podcast. But page 13 on the Champion, Letty shoots for the stars as chocolate rocket seals the deal. Now, I said there's none of us are going to give out about chocolate.
From Tungraney.
Yeah, exactly. So a good Tungraney lady there, pictured with her best in class certificate. So.
I suppose she might get a job with the chocolate company.
Yeah, she mightn't have too far to go up to that. A nice photograph there. Then there is I said there mightn't be too many photos. There's one picture of Magella O'Brien accepting a prize for the best business on behalf of Lochdur Credit Union. Just on about the parades, Coast Guard helicopter provided a flyover for the Killaloo Ballina parade. You know, and then I see in Tullapat they had a fine day out. It started at 11 o'clock.
Yeah,
the pipers, Pat Murphy and Des O'Halloran, piped Father Quinlivan and Father O'Brien and Sickney Walter servers into the church. Yeah. The first time since COVID that servers were back at Mass, and they made a great entrance. So that's a nice one to read.
And the Kishan had a fine parade as well for the first time in 20 years. And John Torpy, local hurley maker, drove an old vintage tractor with a big St. Patrick's oversized hurley at the front with a attached palatial picker, while the Killeen Sailing Club came with a boat. Vintage cars, tractors, articulated lorries and motorcycles also took part in the parade.
Yeah, oh, great. Listen, a good day. And I see that the as you referenced earlier, David, the comic caricature of Michael D and his wife gave plenty of laughs at the parade. Of course, the Scariff Bay float was a bit more serious, with yourselves on board. Yes. But listen, right. That's about it. We're done. We're over time as usual. And I said the boss will be giving out to me for not keeping tabs on you. Pat, who are we going to finish up with?
Next weekend we're going out on Sunday. Next weekend we're going to have a change to summertime.
Are we? You've been putting, not this weekend.
No, next weekend. Yeah.
Next weekend.
And start off the summer with a mungo jelly in the summertime.
Just Pat, you're being very optimistic.
But there's hail outside.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Right, that's it. We'll talk to you next week. So from John, David, Pat, thanks to you all. We shall see you soon and talk again next week. Take care and goodbye.
Sky. When the weather's fine, you got women on your your mind. Have a drink, have a drive, go out and see what you can find.